Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Paul Lawrence, a partner at PricewaterhouseCoopers, and our conversation today is with Ida Castro, Chairwoman, U.S. Equal Employment Opportunity Commission. Well, Ida, in our last segment, you described the processes you went through and the things that you did, but I'm curious about the results. How did it turn out?
Oh, I'm very proud of the results. Over a five-year period, EEOC has slashed its backlog, which stood at one point at 111,000 charges by 70%. This year we came in at a 17-year low of less than 36,000 charges. We've increased all of our performance indicators in many instances, tripling and quadrupling our performance indicators. We have had two record years in terms of obtaining benefits on behalf of charging parties. As I stated, our national mediation program has been off the charts in terms of the success. Both employers and charging parties have rated that program in the 90th percentile, which is a happy factor that generally government agencies never get in any program, even when they give you money. So this has been a really wonderful result in terms of all the things that we've been able to accomplish. For example, average processing time in the private sector used to be 2 to 3 years, and now it's all the way down to about 210 days. And we hope within the next year to reach our goal, which is by regulation 180 days. And now we're within a real good distance. I mean, a very comfortable distance. It's a very achievable goal for us. So, but more importantly, I think it's our reputation. It's our ability to be where we need to be, when we need to be. It's the level of trust that we've developed with both charging parties and the employer community, because we, for the first time, have opened up a very good dialogue with the employer community. I am very, very confident that most employers want to comply with the law. And there's no reason for me to treat everyone as if they were evil or violators of the law. On the contrary, I want to encourage those employers that wish to comply with the law to work with me and help me think through the major challenges that the EEOC has been facing in the last decade and work with me to resolve them at the earliest possible point. I would rather reduce my backlog by individuals not feeling compelled to come to my office rather than having to ask for more money or streamline more processes.
In addition to working through the private sector charges, you've also reformed the federal sector EEO complaint process. Could you tell us about that?
Sure. I also focused on the federal sector, which, by the way, had been neglected for years and years and years, and for good reason. I mean, in terms of the EEOC, not good reason, but explainable. Let's put it that way, because it's really not a good reason. But the workload of the private sector is so huge in the EEOC that oftentimes the federal sector gets neglected. I promised the federal sector I wouldn't ignore it. So we pushed for federal regulatory reform. We reformed Section 1614. We streamlined significantly this process, certainly from our perspective. We also became an active part of the NPR task force to reinvent the federal EEO process. Although we ran out of time, we couldn't come out with a report. I do have the benefit of all the thoughts and the recommendations of all the stakeholders we brought together in that process, and we're currently looking at all of these recommendations and looking forward to continue to improve the federal sector, both front-end and back-end.
EEOC is often in the news, and you indicated in one of your early answers it undergoes a tremendous public scrutiny. How do you deal with that as a manager and a leader?
Up front, I believe information is power, and that it's very important to maintain stakeholders and the public fully informed and aware of what is happening. For example, given the fact that EEOC had been often criticized because of its backlog, the perception of the public became discrimination is no longer an issue. The real problem is that EEOC it just can't handle its work, and it's all paperwork. And I think that that was a common, it's fair to say that that was a common perception. However, our work is not just paperwork. We don't just process charges. Regrettably, there are only too many instances of very crude and egregious discrimination. There are a number of other instances that certainly provide the basis, a sound basis and foundation for pattern and practice claims of discrimination. And we need to work with all of our stakeholders to begin to resolve these questions. And the media and our public perception is key to turning that around and making the relationship a far more positive one.
How does one prepare for such public scrutiny as a manager?
How does one prepare for it? Well, one needs to understand what are generally the concerns that the public faces. And in the federal government in particular, people who pay taxes want to know that their taxes are going for efforts that are worthwhile. And definitely anti-discrimination laws are efforts that are worthwhile. I mean, I don't think there's a question about that amongst the American public. However, the American public expects us to do our job and do it well. The employer community understands that violations to the law need to be pursued, but they expect us to do that and do it well. Charging parties who are victims of discrimination certainly expect justice and trust this agency with finding discrimination and doing it well. So what is our responsibility? We have to do it well. So in that sense, unless you correct the issues that prevent you from really reaching your mission, you won't have a good relationship with the media, so to speak. It'll be far easier for people to be deviated trying to address media crises concerns. It'll be easier to find that one mistake, that one ugly case that you shouldn't have brought up that is being twisted in the wind. And it'll be easier then for people to have the wrong perception of what your mission is. So if you're results oriented, if you achieve the appropriate results, then rather than shying away from the media, you should be ready and actually willing, eagerly, quite frankly, to get your message across so that the public understands the value of the mission of your agency and therefore then continues to support not just the agency but the staff that's doing the hard work.
EEOC often partners with other agencies such as the IRS and or the Department of Labor. What lessons about effective interagency collaboration would you share with other managers?
Well, I think it's extremely important from the federal perspective to make sure that as a leader of an agency or as a manager, that one understand what are the other agencies that would normally be involved on this question and bring them together so that you can provide an answer that A, makes sense, but not just within the laws of your jurisdiction, makes sense for the receiver of your directive. In my conversations, for example, with employer representatives, the most common complaint has always been, well, EEOC tells us to do X and OFCCP tells us to do Y and the other agency tells us to do A, B, and C. And how does one keep this all together? And I happen to agree with that. I mean, laws will be effectively applied and laws will be complied with if they're understood. So that is really the importance of coordinating policy and coordinating enforcement.
It's time for a break. We'll be right back with more of the Business of Government Hour and our conversation with Ida Castro.